Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are keeping calm. We are staying local. We are going from downtown to Catonsville, where State Fair keeps Don Mohler fed. I got to get over there to curbside and pick up some shrimp and grits and some chicken and waffles, maybe a Bloody Mary to go for my wife and one of those big old growlers. Make sure you're visiting our friends at State Fair. They're building a Mexican restaurant across Frederick Road. I know Don's excited about that. We'll get downtown again, and Don, I know, and we will say hello to Mohler and Gary and Jeff Mohler, of course, one of our great sponsors. You can find him up in the buy at Toyota.com audio vault. But Don, if the world were flat, if the world were normal, you know I would wrestle Kurt Schmoke at Fadley's, hold him up for oysters, rockfish, mac and cheese, cream of crab, regular crab cakes, and all that. I can't believe we have a shortened segment with the former mayor of Baltimore and the obviously the guy that runs my alma mater, UB. But tell Kurt Schmoke what we would do to him at Fadley's, because he'd be there 3 hours with you and me.
My guess is that the president of the University of Baltimore, Kurt Schmoke, I bet he's been to Fadley's once or twice. Is that accurate, Mr. President?
Absolutely. it sounds like Nestor's had a lot of energy drinks, though.
Now, listen. You got to have a lot of energy when I'm bringing. Do I have to refer to you as Mr. Mayor? Do people still call you Mr. Mayor? They call you Kurt? They call you Prez? What do they call you?
They call me Kurt. It's taken a while, but finally I've shed all those titles, and I'm just Kurt.
Well, my alma mater's UB. I drive by all the time. You know, the city that reads and decriminalizing. We could go through all of that, but let's start from the university perspective of what's important right now, which is if I were a student there, you know, as I was for years and being displaced and seeing the university, what fell onto your desk probably right around March 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 was probably not unlike this sort of crisis management that you honed your skills with 30 years ago running the city, right?
Well, certainly being mayor is good preparation for what's in front of us right now. But, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity just to let people know how unique and a little bit different UB is from the other schools that you may be talking about. It, because, as you know, University of Baltimore got started as a merger of a Knight Law School and a Knight Business School way back in 1925. So it's always been real career-oriented. A real career-oriented place, and we do have a College of Public Affairs and an Arts and Sciences program that focuses a great deal on writing and on simulation and game design, some of the you know, newer modern things that are going on, forensic science and all that kind of stuff. But we're really prepared for this type of crisis, mainly because way before coronavirus came up, half of our academic credits were being given online. So, in fact, UB started having a fully online program in 1999, an MBA, Master's of Business Administration, fully online way back then. So we were better prepared than I think some other places. And also, of course, you know, unfortunately, over the years, we had to get rid of sports. So we don't have intercollegiate sports. We don't have residential dorms. But we just have great academic programs, both in class and online, right in the heart of the city. So we were better prepared than I think a lot of other places to address this particular crisis.
And Don Mohler, look how good I turned out, right, at UB.
I'm telling you, it's a... And the proof is in the pudding. So I want to ask, Kurt, I want to ask you, we've asked everybody that's come on from the higher education world, that moment. Now, again, it's interesting because you said you were actually more prepared given the nature of the university. But that moment when you go to bed one night and it's life as we know it, you wake up the next day and everything's shut down. As the president of Baltimore, University of Baltimore, what goes through your mind, and what are the things behind the curtain? What are the first things you start to do?
Well, you want to kind of assure people that things are going to get better, that this, you know, is not the end of the world, that you have to figure out a way to adjust to what people are calling the new normal. And one of the things, it happened in the spring, so that meant we had to finish the spring semester, get people prepared for exams, and you say, oh, how are we going to do exams if nobody's going to be in class and we're going to be able to proctor those exams? So you got to figure out a way of doing that electronically. And then, of course, you got graduation issues, and you've probably seen with the issues of the academies, the military academies. Do you try to do it in a big space, or do you try to do it virtually, you know, online, things of that nature? So you have to come up with some adjustments, but the main thing is just to let people know that it's going to get better, that you know, we're going to make these adjustments. It's going to be a tough period for a few weeks, and then you know, we'll come up with a different approach. But you know, we've got high quality educators, high quality professors, and they really took to going online pretty easily. A few had to be trained, but most of them had already used online instruction for either part of their course or full their course. So both the students and the faculty were able to make the adjustment. But clearly it was you know, it was a shock to everybody, but one that we knew we were going to recover from.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kurt. I've made the comparison, and we won't know for a couple of years, but I think clearly in terms of the United States of America and the world, there was a pre-9/11 world, and there was a post-9/11 world.
Right.
I'm getting a sense that down the road, we may identify a pre-COVID world and a post-COVID world. And that may be true for those of you in higher ed as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the universities are talking about that now. You know, as I said, we are very fortunate. Our location, the fact that we are so, you know, career focused. But, you know, when you think about some of the other universities, they've got to worry about, you know, like one of our universities that happens to be a Big Ten school. What are they going to do with all that athletic structure that they have, you know, residential halls, dining hall contracts, things of that nature, security around campus. There are huge issues that a lot of the residential campuses have to address that fortunately we're just so fortunate that we won't have to deal with those. What you'll probably see, though, with UB, given, you know, our particular structure, is a closer partnership between the University of Baltimore and the community colleges. I think a lot of young people are going to look at the finances and say, wait a minute, maybe I should start my higher education at the community college, get the 2 years, get an associate's degree, move into a local college like University of Baltimore to complete it, and I can complete my 4 years cheaper than I would just 1 year going out of state someplace. So people are going to be making those kind of calculations now, and I think that it really will redound to the benefit of some of our local universities.
Hey, Don, was Kurt talking about a young erstwhile reporter at the Baltimore Sun in 1986, 1987 that was doing Dundalk Community College during the day and then made the downtown decision? Kurt, I'll tell you this. This real you were the mayor at the time, right?
Yeah.
So it was 1988-89, I had to make my decision. I had my credits at Dundalk Community College, my AA, and I had to get a degree, and I wanted to be a journalist. And I was writing at the paper at the time and covering Don's brother was coaching kids that I was writing stories about and girls basketball back in the day 30 years ago. And I picked UB because I literally could walk from 501 North Calvert Street, where I worked at night, to UB. I could park my car once, walk back and forth, and I got a corporate communication degree from the University of Baltimore that was partially funded by the then A.S. Able Corporation that then became Times Mirror, that said we'll pick up, you know, 25 or 50%, whatever that number was, of my college.
Right, and we have a lot of scholarships for transfer students now, and one of our alums, you probably know this guy, Bob Parsons, who...
GoDaddy.
Yeah, he's the founder of GoDaddy and now on the sports scene the developer of Parsons Extreme Golf. I mean, the great golf club that a lot of people are using now. But he's a guy from East Baltimore.
Highlandtown is what he would always tell me, right?
Made that decision, came to UB. It really launched his career. So, you know, I do think, as Don was mentioning, that it's going to be a big change, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, people making a lot of decisions, and it will affect higher education. I just think that the University of Baltimore happens to be in a good position to be able to adjust to this, what will be the new normal.
Well, Kurt, a few months back, and I wasn't surprised, got to tell you, someone who's followed your career, you know, we're sort of contemporaries for many, many years. I wasn't surprised that you would be the one to really heighten a discussion about what higher ed could look like in the region, in Baltimore City particularly, when you recently broached an idea about, and you were real clear, you didn't want to call it a merger. I think you used the term an alliance, I think
that's
was
right.
the term
yeah.
you used. But that there could be a different relationship between UB, Coppin, and Baltimore City Community College.
That's right,
Talk to us a little bit about what motivated that.
Sure. I just happened, at the request of some members of the legislature, I have been the chairman of the Board of Trustees at the Community College, at Baltimore City Community College, and in addition to my day job as president of the University of Baltimore. And I took a look at New York City, the City University of New York, and there you've got a number of colleges, both community, two-year, four-year, and a graduate center that are in this alliance where you have a single administrative unit trying to take care of all the non-academic stuff, and then you have these other schools that complement one another throughout the city. And I thought, boy, that could be a good model for Baltimore, with Coppin and the University of Baltimore not overlapping in programs but complementing it with one another, and then the Baltimore City Community College, you know, as a pipeline. It would make it easier for young people to move from BCCC, Baltimore City Community College, to these other institutions, and possibly then to a graduate school, which we have at the University of Baltimore. Right now, half of our student body, a little bit more, it's actually 53% of our student body are graduate students. So I was thinking, you know, boy, we could emphasize the graduate programs at UB. Coppin could emphasize their undergraduate and plus their athletic programs. BCCC could be the pipeline, and it would really work well for this city. A little bit of controversy, of course. Change always brings some controversy. The legislature was going to take a look. They were going to set up a study committee to look at this, but then coronavirus hit, and that just set back everything. So I don't know whether there will be an objective look at the anytime soon, but I hope the idea stays on the table, and maybe it's an idea whose time has come. As you know, I'm used to long range ideas because I was talking about drug decriminalization 30-some years ago.
This is the point where I get involved, right, Don? This is where I start swimming.
Go ahead, Nestor, because I was going to do the same thing. I was going to say, when I said I wasn't surprised, Kurt, that you put this idea out there, and I think we should say that, you know, Maggie McIntosh, who's a Baltimore Positive alum, sat with us for almost 2 hours. I mean, it was really encouraging for me to see that Maggie came out when you floated and said, look, we shouldn't dismiss this. We should have more discussion about it. So,
yep.
I mean, you know, Maggie certainly came out and said it's worthy of discussion, but the reason I was surprised was I go back that 30-some years, and I was looking, when I was looking at some of the background for this, it goes back and it talks about, you know, Kurt Schmoke focused on housing and education and public health and economic development. I thought, man, they're the same issues today, and you were bold enough. And I remember this like it was yesterday. You came out and said, maybe we need a fresh look as to drug abuse. And
yep.
you might as well have said, right, we need to turn Maryland into a communistic state.
I mean, it was literally like a heresy issue at the time, right?
Yeah, I remember a guy told me, one of the congressmen in D.C. said that he would describe me as a man who had a bright future when I said that.
Kurt, talk about, because this is what we love about highlighting people like yourself who've been in the public eye for so long in public service. Highlight for us what it was 30-some years ago that made you say, you know what, I believe it's the right thing to do, and it may have an impact on my political future, but I don't care. I'm going to talk to us about how you got to that decision.
Well, you're absolutely correct that I did figure that it was going to shorten my political career. What happened, you know, I'd been state's attorney for 5 years before becoming a mayor, and I just knew that the way in which we were handling the drug problem seemed to be on a cycle that was endless, and it wasn't getting better. And of course, when my good friend Detective Marcellus Ward, Marty Ward, was killed, in Baltimore, and I had to listen because he had a body wire on. I had to listen to him being shot and his life just drifting away. It just really dawned on me that the guy who shot him was more hooked on drug money than hooked on drugs, and that there was some way of taking the profit out of distributing drugs and focusing on the huge appetite. How do we reduce the demand for the appetite for drugs? That got me thinking about alternative ways, and I started looking at an analogy. It seemed that alcohol prohibition was somewhat similar, where we tried to become an alcohol-free America by using the criminal law, and we found out that was causing worse problems. So the combination of things got me thinking, let's at least broach the idea of an alternative approach. And what I came up with is that the war on drugs should be a public health war rather than a criminal justice war. But you're absolutely right, Don and Nestor. My initial comment on that was that we should consider decriminalizing drugs. Well, man, you would have thought that I did say, you know, let's have a communist party here.
Right.
Because the term just got so, you know, interpreted in too many different ways. In fact,
well, Ronald Reagan Nancy Reagan was in charge at the time, right? Literally.
Everybody, yeah, it was a lot of people coming down on me. But you know what was interesting is that I said that in, 1988 and got beat up for a while. But in the next election, Du Burns ran against me when I ran for re-election. The public, when we polled, was still against my position, but they gave me a lot of credit for coming up with an idea and not changing my mind. And then, so they kind of put the other guy on the defensive, basically saying, wait a minute, if you're just talking the status quo, we know that's not working. What else do you want to do? And he didn't have any new ideas. He just criticized mine. So I got reelected. And over time, public started to come to the view. I think it was because of AIDS and other issues that they began to see it as a health problem more than a crime problem. And now more elected officials are willing to say that let's do a demand reduction. Let's figure out more treatment. Less incarceration, more treatment, more public health approaches. So I'm very pleased to that the elected officials are saying it in that fashion now.
Doesn't sound nearly as radical today. We are. If you're just tuning in, we're with the president of the University of Baltimore, former mayor of Baltimore City, Kurt Schmoke, talking about important ideas, big ideas that we can use to turn the city around. Kurt, impossible to have you talk about that experience as mayor and talk about the role that University of Baltimore plays in the city today. We're about to have a really important mayoral election, and we certainly would not ask you to endorse a candidate on Baltimore Positive, but we would ask you to talk a little bit about what that person, him or her, whoever it is, that ends up winning that election, ends up in that office, the challenges they face, what are they going to learn that they don't know?
Wow. Well, the short version is that when they get in office, they're going to find out there's more will than wallet. That is, that they're going to find out that there are a lot of things they want to do, but it'll be prescribed and constrained by the financial issue. You know, the biggest problem on the financial side facing the city of Baltimore is that, unlike places like Jacksonville or Indianapolis or Louisville, that 20, 30 years ago or more saw that a lot of the middle class was going to be moving to the suburbs, and they decided to do a metropolitan-type government or annex. Baltimore didn't do that, so we're locked into 80 square miles, and having to tax that where so many people don't pay taxes, where you have so many institutions like your hospitals and your universities that are major employers, but they're not people that generate the property taxes, that's the big constraint, figuring out how do I pay for the types of things that are necessary to really improve the quality of life for citizens. And bottom line, it means partnership. The next mayor has got to be a real partner with the elected officials in the region and with the state government, and to the best extent possible with the feds. Because you look at just the school system, the budget of the city schools is an equal pie of one-third, 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 federal money, state money, local money. Got to be work in partnership with all those elements in order to move the city forward.
Well, you mentioned the word alliance about 10 minutes ago in regard to the college system.
Yes.
And how that would work. The word alliance, right? And the city needs alliances with in all sorts of ways. And I'm really looking forward to getting a crab cake with you one day and really talking about your history and all the things that you've done. But onto what falls under the mayor's, okay, not enough money. There's a murder rate, right?
Yep.
There's all of these issues that we have with the school system and with business and with public safety, infrastructure, transportation. We go down the list of all of these things.
But you got to set a price, because you can't do everything. So for me, people have been coming to ask me about being mayor, and I said, look, given all this multiple issues, two things are a priority, crime and grime. You got to make it safe, make it clean. You do that, and then private sector can take over with the job issues. But as long as people feel safe and it's a nice, clean environment, you'll see a lot of other energy by people from the neighborhoods and the business community. Take care of that first, and then start dealing with the other issues.
Well, the last thing I got for you is on one thing about your legacy, and Don knows this to be true. Back when the Ravens won the second Super Bowl, I wrote a book on the Ravens, and I took it down to Ocean City. And I thought we just would sell like, I mean, everybody had a purple flamingo on the lawn. It was inside stories. Bishotti, Flacco, they all sat with me. It was a business story about how my partner, Brian Billick, on behalf of the Living Classrooms, got moved out, and John got moved. So it was a story, and I took it to... People walked by me at a Ravens convention and looked at the book and they say, I don't read new books. I don't, you got any pictures in there? I ain't got no pictures in there. And I remember being literally appalled, right?
Yeah.
Like, not just as a UB grad or as a community college grad or a one-time guidance counselor student of Don Moeller in 1982 at Dundalk High School. I just was appalled at how all of these people didn't want to read a book, because the last thing in the world, now we have a president that famously doesn't read books. I just want to know that I was the kid who took your words seriously back in 1985, 86, 87, when you were the mayor and you said we were going to be the city that reads.
Yep, yep.
And, I want to pay tribute to you and all that, because I've lived in the middle of the city for two decades. I want to make it better, hence the Baltimore Positive thing. You're still here in Baltimore trying to make it better. And the city that reads, and education and children and Don's role, and we talked to Sonia Santelis last week, and Dr. Darrell Williams and superintendents, having children that read, There's just nothing more important now that we're in this COVID thing as far as understanding the difference between a bacteria and a virus, Kurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to read. You were right all along.
And we've got also a great leader at the Pratt Library. You know, we were so fortunate for a couple of decades to have Carla, and now she's chief librarian of the whole country. That's a real positive thing for Baltimore. But Heidi Daniels also just super, and she's making sure that whole message gets out there about the importance and the joy of reading, and hopefully the branches of the library can get open physically again, but they've been doing a good job online, but we've got a wonderful leader there.
She's on our it's interesting that you mentioned her, Kurt. She is on our short list of upcoming guests that we want to get on and reach out to because it's such a Baltimore positive story. Before we let you run, you've been gracious with your time. How important and what role, I mean, everybody thinks of William Donald Schaefer, you know, as being sort of one of the models for the mayor in terms of being the cheerleader. And I know when you dig down, there were some things that you could criticize Schaefer over, but I don't think anybody criticized him over his ability to be the city's cheerleader. Is that a key role for a mayor in the modern era, Kurt, to be the guy with the pom-poms cheering the city on?
Yeah, you just have to do it in your own fashion. I remember people asking me about that when I was mayor, and you know, we had very different styles. I was much more of a subdued guy than you couldn't be Schaefer, but
you weren't going swimming with the dolphins in a 1900s.
That's right. That was one I could see the headline in the paper the next day. Been there, done that. So, no, but you're absolutely right. You got to be the biggest advocate, the strongest advocate, and lead that charge for the city. The business community helps, but the mayor's got to be a real advocate and emphasize the positive things in the city as you all are doing, because you know, I still think the good news of Baltimore outweighs the bad news, and we just have to keep emphasizing that as we move along.
Can you play that role for me for 60 seconds? Be the cheerleader. Give me the, if they made you mayor tomorrow, what is the story of Baltimore? What do you love about Baltimore?
There's no place else in the country that has this combination of education institutions, arts institutions, strong business community, and vibrant neighborhoods that is better than Baltimore. Baltimore's best is an absolute appropriate message for this community.
I love that. See, I put him right in the mayor mode. I got a county executive and a mayor here together. This is perfect.
There you go. Well, before we let the president get away, I want to give you 30 seconds. Tell people, what's great about the University of Baltimore? What do you want folks who are in their cars listening to this to know about your institution that you're so proud of?
Well, the University of Baltimore is also the university for Baltimore. As you probably know, right now, we've got the Baltimore City Police Academy on our campus. We're training these young leaders for the future. And what we've been able to do for almost 100 years is to educate leaders in law, business, public affairs, and the arts, to help enliven Baltimore and make it a great city for the 21st century.
Well, I've got the diploma on my wall, Kurt, and I appreciate your time. All the educators have been so gracious, and obviously all the work that you've done to make Baltimore what it is, and we're going to continue to get the shovel out, keep digging, and make it better. And I know you're up the street. One day we'll get together. We'll be 5.5 feet apart at Fadley's, and we'll have crab cakes together. I'm going to have a beer, I promise, all right?
Okay, sounds good. You all take care. Thank you all very much.
Former Mayor Kurt Schmoke joining us here, and, of course, former Baltimore County Executive Don Mueller, my partner here on behalf of Baltimore Positive. We're going around the community doing education this week. Next week, we bring the mayor candidates back on to talk about the election on June 2nd. So, man, I think we hit it all there. Platform, marijuana, city that reads, unintended consequences, alliances, all of that stuff, as well as the president of UB, former Mayor Kurt Schmoke. Always a pleasure to chat him up, especially when it's not over food and a small plate at Maritime Magic. So, Don Mohler and I alluded to this at the beginning of the segment. 200 episodes deep now at Baltimore Positive. Hope you're subscribing, keeping calm, staying local. Also out in the by Toyota.com audio vault as we've merged our WNST content. Because there's no more sports anymore. We had a nice draft weekend. You can find all that stuff out there, as well as my dear friend Luke Jones breaking down Raven stuff. Hopefully we can get back out and mix and mingle and have an NFL schedule again sometime soon. But in the meantime, WNST, Baltimore Positive, bringing them together. No better place to do that than with former mayor, still the mayor, and the president of UB, Kurt Schmoke. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, keeping it Towson and Baltimore and local and calm. And Baltimore Positive.